recorded live.
Oh, wow. It just started on its own, guys.
It's like magic.
Right. For some reason, the pen sat back under you.
I took care of it. Go ahead.
Okay. Wow. Well, good. Well, yeah. Let's continue this conversation. This is going good. How about childhood education? With my kids, you know, just this week, I put more pressure on them than my wife, you know, because I'm not expecting a B or C to come in the house. I want them to be the best that they could be. I want them to learn how to study, learn how to be organized. And, you know, I'm always asking them, you know, go upstairs and read. Have you read a book? You know, cut the TV off. Get off the game. Get off the computer. Let's get a book in our hand and let's learn. And, you know, sometimes my wife is like, you know, you might be a little too controlling. Let them have some free time. I'm like, okay. But I want them to understand that education is the most important thing and not free time. You can always have free time. Am I being over demanding of my kids? Or over controlling?
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you setting that example for your kids?
That education is the most important thing? Yes.
Yes. Are you organized and well educated and always studying hard and trying to do better?
Oh, yeah, they see me work all the time. You know, they're like, Daddy, you working late again? I'm home working. I'm, you know.
I
wasn't leading the call tonight, I'd probably be having, you know, you might hear them laugh at me sometime, but Patrice working now, you know. They know about this call. Daddy, you got your call tonight. Make sure you're prepared. So they kind of know, yeah. But sometimes I think I put too much pressure on them. Because then when it's time to get through the hard work, they break out in tears. Like they, you know, like they let me down because they might have got a B or something. And it, you know, I'm trying to really think and say, well, am I too controlling? Is a B good enough? And just this happened yesterday, so. Or am I being parent and not being, you know, my kid's friend and you know, we have a standard in our house and I'm following that standard regardless.
Who sets the standard?
Well, I set the standard.
By what you say or what you show them?
Both. At least that's what I try. At least that's what I'm thinking. Maybe I'm not. I don't know. But at least that's what I'm thinking I'm doing.
Good words.
So, I mean, to me, today at work, I was asking that question in my head. Am I being too controlling over my kids? Or am I being, you know, just like my parents were to me?
I think it's okay to, you know, push your children to strive and do well and do hard at school. But I think that they also need leisure time just to
feel like... Whoa, what is this?
I'm sorry. Ma'am?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. But this is... thank you for your concerns. But right now, we have a women's call that's talking about the same subject, and we really don't want to mix women's answers with men's answers because we want to compare the two afterwards. Can if you get a second, can you call in to the same number, 724-444-7444, but dial into 65013. And we're talking, okay. Women are talking about the same thing.
Okay.
I appreciate it. I apologize. But, yeah, this is the men-only call. We do have a co-ed call that we do once a month, and that will be in 2 weeks. And, you know, I think it's the first the fourth Tuesday of each month. And you'll be more than welcome to jump in where it'll be men and women on that call. I do apologize.
That's okay. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Sorry, fellas. Fellas, are you back? Everybody here?
Yep. You got me.
Yeah, good. I don't have the controls because for some reason it's not working on my side. So, I apologize about that. But, yeah, it's a concern of mine. And I just wanted to see maybe you're teaching your kids a different way and maybe there's another option out there for me. Or am I doing the right thing?
Well, how do you know? How do you know if you're doing the right thing? I kind of know that's your question, but how would you know?
Well, because my kids, they do the best they can, and they usually bring home good grades. But I saw a little lag where I saw 3 B's come in.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, when you analyze the B's,
mm-hmm.
and saying, is it because of lack of studying, too much TV, too much funning, or is it because the work is probably just a little harder than normal? Or just a little bit more difficult, you know? How do you approach those?
I don't know. This one, it looked like it was a lack of focus.
Okay.
But, you know, I know things are getting harder and harder for them. You know, that's what school is. It gets harder. It doesn't get easier. And I think I'm more concerned about their focus.
Yeah.
So once you lose that focus, you start making mistakes.
And I think that will dictate whether it's time to step up your control or your parenting skills when you have to when you see that is definitely a lack of concentration but it could be a lack of concentration because it's too hard too. They could just mentally give up on the work, and then you get poor grades. You know. So, I mean, there are a lot of things, but I think as parents we need to figure out what it is before we, you know, go Joe Jackson on them and say, hey, whoa. I said A means A, period.
Okay. Because I think I probably brought out Joe Jackson. In my mind, I'm like, this is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Is that you in this green van?
That's good. Anybody else have any concerns or questions about controlling with their kids they want to talk about education wise or anything with their spouse? Well, it's the 10 o'clock hour, and here's one of my good questions before we go on to obedience and then try to merge the two together here. Has anyone ever tried to gain control by denying someone of something? And if I need to go ahead and just go ahead and say it, what about sex? You didn't clean the house today, so I'm not giving you any sex. You did.
Repeat your question again.
My question is, has anyone ever tried to gain control by denying someone of something? Meaning, have you ever denied your wife of sex?
No, but they denied us.
You mean? So that's
control factor, is that you not getting it.
Amen to that, brother.
You mean using it as a weapon, pretty much?
Using it as a weapon, a controlling weapon. I got what you want. I'm not giving it to you because I'm mad at you. And I say this because there was a story out there that a young lady was concerned about her relationship because you know, her husband was so demanding of sex. He wanted it 7 times a day. She thought that was too much.
On the wrong side or the easy side.
And so he says, well, if you don't give me this sex, then, you know, this is what I want. This is my standards. So what's the next step that he's going to do? He's going to go look where somebody will give him sex 7 times a day. Doesn't that affect the marriage? That control issue of sex?
Are you saying, okay, hold on a second. So if you desire to do this with your wife as many times as humanly possible, mm-hmm. that's a control issue?
If she doesn't want to do it. I mean, if he's saying, I want 7 times a day. He's not
okay.
giving her an option. He's saying, I want 7 times a day.
And this particular person wanted 7 times a day?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's
morning.
Possible. Is that humanly possible?
No.
No. No. No. No.
Is he working anywhere?
Good word.
Well, you know, he might want 2 in the morning before he go to work.
Yeah, did he just get out of jail or something?
I think that's an extreme case. I think that's an extreme case. Honestly,
it ain't possible.
You know, I think we should probably ask questions that's a little more realistic. Maybe like 3 times a week, and saying I need to have it 3 times a week, regardless, or something like that, opposed to 7 times a day. I think that.
Yeah. Or what about just daily? I want, you know, every morning when you wake up, I expect you to roll over and give me something before I go to work every morning.
What's the problem? What's wrong with that?
I don't think nothing's wrong with it. But is that a controlling factor? Is using sex a controlling issue? Or is it something that we talked about earlier, like compromise? If you both compromise, then it's okay.
How about it being a request?
Yeah, it can be a request.
I think it starts off as being a request.
Okay.
You know, it falls back into that respect thing, too. It goes like this. You know, if I look at my wife and say, look, I'm requesting it every morning before I go to work. Now, she respects me and loves me. Odds are I might get lucky every morning. But I have to turn around and love and respect her back, or else she's gonna regret. You know, I guess she's going to start, how do I want to put this, not enjoying it and not wanting to do it for me.
Yeah.
And then she's going to feel more like she's being pressured and forced and coerced and, you know, all kinds of things. And if I treat her like gold and the queen that she is, okay, then she's going to feel more like giving it to me when I want it, okay? Because it's a back and forth. The nicer you are to somebody, the nicer they're going to be to you.
And you were going right where my next question is fear. Fear and pressure.
If you do that, she ain't
going to
give it to you at all.
Treat her like that. Yeah, because she's going to be feeling like, I think what we said earlier, women feel like sometimes that they get controlled by their men. And in doing that, I mean, just like that story where we read earlier where the guy was like, I want this, I want my debt on the table, I want my clothes put out, I want my clothes folded a certain way. That's a control factor that can affect a marriage. It can affect your way your woman looks at you as the head of household. She may allow you to still be the head of household, but is she really caring that you're the head of household?
Why you can't fold your own clothes the way you want them, you know? Let her have her time. You can fold your own clothes, wash your own clothes, wash her clothes and fold her clothes. Make her feel more like a queen.
Mm-hmm.
All that demanding to have your clothes folded and ironed and pressed and your socks and all that. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
That is
crazy. Speak on it, brother. Speak on it.
That is crazy, though.
Yeah.
I don't even know whoever came up. And I was getting asked that question because my history is not that strong. But what I wanted to know was, where did all that come from anyway?
Mm.
Where
well,
a woman was supposed
school,
to do all this.
But isn't that old school? Isn't that
how old?
Talk?
Okay, we not old. This is a new era. You know, we got wives that's been wanting to be treated like queens for so long. Then they get the youth step out there and get married and get in a good relationship, and then they get the guys just want to flip the script and go back to the old way like their parents was. It's not like that no more.
Not like that no more.
You have to start off like just like I said. It ain't happening, brother.
Yeah, I think that you know, with that, you have to realize that, you know, the brother is absolutely right that this is a new era, whereas back in the day, you could have, you know, just a man working and, you know, hold it down financially, you know, where now you need two folks out there working, you know, and one of the folks might have a couple, you know, and I mean, literally, back in the day, you know, the woman could, you know, fold and iron the clothes and have dinner hot when you come home because she didn't have to, quote unquote, you know, make the bacon. You know, whereas now you got women with careers and they like, I'm tired too.
Yeah,
you know,
you
make me some dinner.
There's some sisters out here now. They not sitting home. They refuse to sit home. They want to earn their own keep.
Yeah.
Provide just like we try to provide for them. You know. And it's a lot of sisters out here, not just sisters. There's a lot of females out here that rather get out there, do that 9 to 5. And if they're not making more than the guy, some guys don't even want a woman that's making more than them. All of y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for a brother to settle down with a woman making more money than him. It's hard. Brothers don't want that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a fact.
But I think that if women, you know, If the man was able to, you know, provide a nice home and she didn't have to work, you know, I think that there are absolutely some women out there who would, you know, be folding and ironing the clothes and then it'd be hot. I mean, that's,
well,
you know.
That's an option.
Yeah, that's an option. Exactly. Exactly.
Man, I really wish it was my brother that was
important. I want to add some of my brothers out there. If you were able to provide the means for your spouse, to give her an option, you was making enough money to tell your wife, look, baby, I'm going to give you this option, give you something to think about. I'm making enough money to take care of the family, everything. If you can stay home, you can go back to school, you can pursue your own business or whatever you choose to do. That's if that's what you want to do, fine, go ahead and do it. I'll take care of the house. I'll take care of the bills. I'll take care of everything. I don't think there's no brothers out there willing to do that.
What?
I can't get no comments on that.
Oh, I got a big comment.
That's what he does.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
All right, let me tell you something. For 18 years since my daughter was born, my wife, probably within 3 weeks before my daughter was born, says, I don't want to work. I want to be a stay-at-home mom. We ended up selling a car to pay off the credit cards. A lot of times I got paid all my bills and had $40 last me 2 weeks, and I still needed gas in the car to go to work and groceries with $40.
Wow.
And I'm, okay? So,
sound like the wife ain't eating then.
Right, we both ain't eating, right?
No, you eating, the baby eat, the wife ain't eating.
Baby and the baby and the wife.
You got to go to work. You need some strength, and the baby need to eat to grow. So the wife, you know, get some, yeah.
Everybody would have been on the Hooters and Noodles diet that week.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
As a couple, you do what's important to you, okay? Not everybody can live off of one salary and you know, just eat bologna all day. We thought that was important to us and our family. We had those values. That's what we wanted to do. With my wife being home, had no house chores I ever had to do. I never had to vacuum a floor, dust those ceiling fans, make a dinner, anything. The only thing I had to do is cut the lawn and keep the cars clean. That was my job and going to work, period.
You had two jobs.
Okay, yeah.
Clear.
The only thing now, okay, was about 3 or 4 months ago, my daughter left for college. All right? I looked at my wife and I says, okay, now we're trying to get her to go through college and not have these big bills and all this debt that she's going to have in her life. So we're trying to pay for her college. Now I'm asking, I'm tapping into my untapped resource, and that's my wife. She finally went out after 18 years and got a real job, making some real money. She's just out of the world. Put it this way, when she left work 18 years ago, she was on top of the game in the computer world. She worked at Computerland Northwest in Owings Mills, Maryland. It's a big computer company. And she had the latest and greatest. 18 years later, she is so out of touch with the real computer world. So she had a lot of catching up to do. But she was able to do that and get a job, making some money, and now she works full-time, I work full-time. Now what I have to do is I'm vacuuming the floors,
yep.
I'm trying to make dinners for her when she comes home,
yep.
and we're doing this together.
That's what you're supposed to do. You know?
Exactly. I'm picking up the slack for 8 years.
Yeah, that's a partnership. And I mean, I think that's absolutely necessary. I'm glad he pointed that out, because me personally, I mean, I'm young, I'm new to the game, but I absolutely, hands down, if I could have a wife who could, you know, I mean, is educated, who could stay at home, make sure the house, you know, is a home, take care of the kids, making sure that they're in bed, you know what I'm saying? That's not to say that I'm not going to help out. Of course I'm going to, but if I had my way, I absolutely would love to have my wife stay at home and, you know, and have me be the main provider outside of the household. And I just, you know what I mean, I don't think that necessarily old school is bad. I mean, there's extremes that you can get to. You know, like I said, that the difference between, you know, obedience and control, and everything's got to be a partnership. But for me, and the standpoint that I come from, it's not practical, you know, living where we are right now. But, you know, if we could do more than just get by, you know, not just living check to check, from my standpoint, if we could still save money and, you know, maybe have our kids in school living in a nice area, I absolutely, hands down, would love for my wife to be able to be a stay-at-home mom. I wish more brothers felt that way.
Amen.
Amen. And I agree with that, guys, because, you know, when we're talking about this control issues that causes marriage problems or relationship problems, getting away from that fear and having that compromise and having the type of marriage that you want and that communication stops all this.
Mm-hmm.
But I have another question I have to ask. Are your controller issues also triggered by the way you view your wife as an extension of yourself? Okay? I found myself the other day having a conversation with my son and daughter, and I said, when you leave this house, okay, you're not only representing yourself, but you're representing my name too. So keep that in mind when you go out here and make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Are you that way controlling towards your wife that, you know, she's a reflection of you, and so you're going to make sure that she doesn't do anything or dress a certain way that disrespects you instead of allowing her to dress the way she wants to dress, or, you know?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I mean, I got a fiance. This just reminds me a little while ago, I'd say about 7 months ago. So we had been, we'd been together for, you know, maybe a little over a year at the time. And she was singing, as a matter of fact, at the Verizon Center. And she showed up and she got there, you know, not late, but say 20 minutes before she was performed. She was performing, you know, which was 40 minutes before they wanted her there. And, you know, what I, you know, told her is that's no good. I got a lot of people. I have family, you know what I mean, that work there in some pretty high up positions. And I was telling her, hey, look, you know what I mean, yes, you've done this before. You know what I mean, you've sung, you know the drill, but you just can't be showing up late like this because, you know what I mean, hey, this isn't just you. This is a reflection of me. Now, like I said, with anything else, there's extremities, and there's a way to say that, you know, in a way where you can come across empathetic and understanding. But yeah, absolutely. I, you know, with everything that my fiance do, I see it as a reflection of me.
Good word. Good word. I just think that conversation is a little difficult to have with a wife, though. I mean, because at that point, and I understand, trust me, I'm with you 300%, because sometimes you need to say that. But I think when you come across like that to your wife, that is definitely controlling. Because in my household, there's certain things. There's, I mean, just certain lines, you know, and there's really no way to, you know, to smooth that one in. you know, because then it's going to come back on you. Yeah, I'm late because you weren't ready. Or whatever the case may be, you know, I just think that in a marriage it just may be a little different, but I could be wrong.
Well, I mean, I remember in some conversations back there's a guy on the call that says that in their marriage that he feels uncomfortable going certain places if his wife is not with him. And because of what other people may have thought. Hey, you know, they try to think, hey, is something wrong with your relationship? Or, you know, why are you? And for example, let's I bring it up, church. You know, you at church, your wife's not at church. Is that a reflection on your relationship? And does that fall in this pack where because you at church and she decides not to go to church, that you and her are not on the same page?
Yeah, I think that was me.
Okay.
Yeah, I said that. I said that. I mean, I don't know how that's controlling or not, but, you know, just to reiterate, we would go to church. We started going to the same church together, and it'd be every week. And that's what, you know, and not really to care about what people say or think, but, you know, certain times I'd come and I'd get 1,000 questions. Well, where's your wife? What's wrong? What's going on? Blah, blah. You know what I mean? And it made me start to feel uncomfortable. So I was like, well, you know, we both need to go. We both need to represent the family, and this is, we're both going to go and worship together. And, you know, because I just felt uncomfortable her not being there.
That's good. But that being uncomfortable, right, being uncomfortable, and get where I'm going with this. Isn't it like, well, I got to change my plans because of what you don't want to do? So now, you know, you're reflecting. Now you've affected my, what, you know, what I want to do, my control, because you don't want to go to church this Sunday, so now I feel like I don't have to go to church. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a trust issue. If I can't trust you to get up to go to church on Sunday, how can I trust you to go with me to my parents' house? Am I going to have to deal with that, or I have to think about that when it's time for that to happen?
I think you're talking about two different things. She may not like going over your parents' house. I mean, it is what it is. But
what,
you know,
what if you say you're going because I said so?
Well, I mean, now you're talking about controlling.
Yeah.
But I don't think that if two people started worshiping together, that if one says, okay, I don't want to do it for whatever reason, I don't think that has anything to do with new plans, because the existing plans are still there. You see what I'm saying? And that would be going to church. So I'm kind of lost at the question. You said you'd be messing up somebody's plans for not going, or what?
Well, I mean, you're messing up somebody's plans, so you come back and say, well, you're going to church with me, regardless if you want to go or not.
Okay, so if she didn't want to go, she'd be messing up my plans of going.
Yeah, and so you get upset, and you say, well, you're going to church with me because I said so. Does that now become controlling?
It never came down to that. I would still go. Because I still got to eat. I still got to get fed. I would, as the head, I still got to show up. You know what I'm saying? Because I need what I need to continue doing what I'm doing. You know, her being there is definitely a bonus. It's definitely a plus, because we both can get, you know, that spiritual nurturing at the same time. But, you know, I still have to go.
Okay, so answer me this question then. What if she felt as if she wasn't being fed at the same church that you're going to? And she tries to get you to, you know, change your association with that church because she feels as if she's moved to another place and she doesn't want to stay back there where you're at.
You are 300% in my driveway. You're right on my block, because sometimes she does get a little bored with the pastor.
Yeah.
because she's used to a different type, and that would be the old pastor, who's retired. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you and your wife are not always going to go for the same thing. I can get a message out of anybody because I know who the messenger is. But for certain people, they need to be motivated. They need to be, you know what I mean? They need that evangelistic person to get them up and make them do, you know, just to get in the worshiping mood.
Need that feeling, right? You need that feeling, huh?
Exactly. I don't need that. I got it going in. I know what I'm there for. So sometimes we have a different sense of purpose. And that can conflict. Waking up in the morning, making that decision to go together.
And what you're saying is you're dealing with the woman, the emotional being, that is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, but I think, I don't know if there's a right answer to that. You know, I think it could go either way, because I know in my situation, probably about 6 years ago, you know, we had been going to this church and for about 5 years. But both of us kind of mutually felt that we weren't growing anymore. And we needed to move on. But, you know, before we actually moved on, you know, we would get up and we're like, you going? You know, we look at each other and eventually be like, nah, we're not going. And so we were going probably once a month, you know, versus every Sunday. But, you know, where we landed actually caters more to my wife's style, where I am now. And, you know, the reason I say that can go both ways because, you know, originally I was like, you know, this is for you. You know, I ain't feeling this. You know, this ain't for me. You know, this ain't my style, quote unquote. But, you know, I got into it and, you know, just kept going and, you know, it worked out where we had, the old church we had didn't have a facility, nursery or anything, so we had to watch the baby and all this stuff, and you can't even get a word if you know, watching an infant, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, at least this, you know, this church had a dynamic program, you know, on Sundays and on Wednesdays and, you know, for the kids of all ages. And, you know, I was, you know, as I kept going, I was like, well, this ain't so bad. You know, it's still, you know, not really, you know, something that I would have chosen, but I only chose it because of her. But even still, you know, I've been blessed by, you know, the pastor, like the brother said, you know, I can get a word out of anybody. And also, you know, more importantly, the fellowship.
So you're saying you're compromising, right?
Say again?
So you're saying you're compromised?
Yeah, I absolutely did compromise. And, it worked out, and we're both happy. But, back to what I was saying before is that it was when we decided to leave, it was both of us. You know, where I think you could have a situation where, you know, one is still being fed and, you know, one part is like, I'm not feeling this anymore. And that's why I say it can go both ways where, you know, the one brother was just saying you stick it out and, you know, you got other, you know, things. I mean, sometimes it can be you, you know, you just
Well, personally, I think you did the right thing. And the reason I say that is because the word of God plainly speaks that the woman is a weaker vessel. You know what I mean? So in essence, he tells you to be the small Christ to your wife. So, you know, you got to die for her. So whatever it is that, you know, she's dealing with, you as the head of the house and the man and the family, the priest of the home, I mean, you need to make sure that she gets what she needs. So, yeah, I wouldn't say you were wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. And just like the same thing with me, I told him, I said, we can go and visit some different churches. We can go and, you know, if you're not comfortable. Because, I mean, that's the goal. I want you to be comfortable. You know, I want you to be comfortable when you worship. So, you know, where do you want to go? And she was like, nah, I'm cool, you know. And we got past it, you know.
Well, I had a hard time, but it happened to me. And actually, my wife left and went to another church. And still remains there to this day, you know what I'm saying? You know, eventually, you know, It came to an head, and eventually, you know, I went to that church just the same, but not because of her, but only because I was led, you know, to be there. You know what I mean? It wasn't that. It was. I mean, I understood what she was dealing with at that time. So when she did leave, it was very controversial. Matter of fact, it almost caused a divorce. You know what I'm saying? Because personally, I wasn't feeling going to, you know. I wasn't feeling going to that church, okay?
And you know me and my narrow mindedness. Also, I look at it from the standpoint. I mean, I'm sure we have other people on here that are of different colors and races. But at the time, man, I was very narrow-minded, okay? And I wasn't going to the white man's church, excuse my expression, okay? And I wasn't feeling that, okay? But then I had to realize, and God had to allow me to see, that I had to move beyond that. I had to move beyond color. And I had to, and then once I did that and received from the messenger, then I realized that's where I was supposed to be at all the time. So I could have missed it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. One thing about it, brother, you know, heaven ain't going to be segregated.
No, that's right.
You know, yeah, but I think that, you know, one thing about it is that, you know, I want to drop this, you know, what the brother said. I mean, could that be going, if your wife steps off and goes to another church, could that be a form of disobedience or disrespect?
No question.
Mm.
Wow.
No question. It's a major form of disrespect.
Yeah.
And if the pastor allowed that woman to come to that church without that husband, and that husband is a man who follows God and know who God is, that's very disrespectful, period. You know, you need to inquire. You know, if you don't, it's a problem.
Yeah, I go a little deeper than that. I think it's disrespect. I think it also shows that your house is not one, that you definitely, y'all are not connected.
No question.
You know what I'm saying? And but also goes to if one goes and the other doesn't go.
I think the same
rules apply.
Why don't you just say, and you are the weakest link.
I mean, you know.
That's true. I agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I mean, because if you, you know, I don't know. It's just not a good look for me. You know, when you're married and you need some kind of spiritual guidance because, you know, marriage is God's plan for us. You know, and then when you sit there and one is getting the fed and the other one isn't, it just looks like that could be, there's an underlying issue somewhere that's not being tackled.
Right. So does that fall along the lines that how can two walk together unless they agree?
Yeah, that's Amos. That's somewhere in Amos, ain't it? Amos,
yeah.
The third chapter.
This is good. I like to. I got a couple more that I want to get in, and then at the off hour, I would like to go back to this conversation because this is pretty good. You know, not being connected and going to the same church and not being, you know, going two separate ways in anything. Not only just church, but in thoughts and how you want to raise your home. That can be a big issue. But control issues set up a parent-child relationship or dictatorship in a marriage?
I think the two words should not be mentioned in the same sentence, marriage and dictatorship.
Ooh. You're right. But you got to have a howl. Didn't you say earlier you got to have a pilot and then you got to have a co-pilot? You got to have somebody who controls the ship. There's going to be some decisions that's just going to be final, right? You know, I tell my wife, I mean, all the time, and I tell anybody, you know, my wife runs the household. But there's certain decisions that, you know, inside or out, that, I'm going to provide that final answer. She can control the house any way she wants, but there's just one or two things that we go to make sure that, you know, I don't care what's going on. This is my final answer.
I have difficulty sometimes with that, man. I'm going to be honest with you, right? And the difficulty I have with my wife making determinations on things that I wear or things that I do, I feel like, you know, I'm still at home with my mama.
Well, the host had his wife get his clothes out for him.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's the truth, man. I'm telling you. And my regular response there is that you're not my mom. I thought my mama was dead.
Yeah.
You know, that's sad, but it's true.
That sounds a little controlling. I mean, I could be wrong, but that
that
sounds
is,
a little controlling,
is,
too.
Is, trust me.
Telling
it
me what I'm aware.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, I'm who I am. I'm my own individual, you know. I mean, but that is my wife. But I'm the type of dude, you know, I'm not into the things that you're into, you know, the way you want to dress and how you want to look. You know, you got to allow me to be me, you know. You know, I don't always have to, you know, fit your standards, you know. That's me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we still want their approval with what we wear, obviously. I mean, not approval, but, you know, we want them to say, hey, I like that. Nice hookup.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of where it ends.
Oh, yeah, no question.
You know what I mean? Compliment me. If you don't like it, be like, honey, you don't look good in that. Okay, no problem. What? And then we'll discuss it. But you know, but it definitely works for Patrice. So.
Yeah. Hey, when it comes to clothes, man, listen. My wife picks out a shirt, tie. I just pick out a suit, keep it moving. You know, the kids' clothes, that's what she likes to do.
It's all good.
So, you know, it's all good for me.
It's a compromise, right?
Yeah, that's a compromise. You
it's
never
not,
worry
it's
about
not
it.
Controlling at all. Now, if
it's
you
not
say,
controlling
you know
all.
What,
we
I'm not wearing this combination today. I want to wear my own combination. What happens then?
Be cool with it. All right, cool.
How many times have you done that?
Not too many times. I'm serious. I mean, we go on the relay on trips. You know, by the time I get home, she got the bags packed. She's just like, all right, let's go get in the car. I'm ready to go. I got your suit. Got your, you know, your outfits, shoes, drawers, everything. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's roll. But that's what she likes to do. So I'm not gonna take that away from her. If that's what she likes to do, and there's no argument in the house, then well be. Let's just keep it moving. But don't.
What if she start buying your clothes for you?
Hey, then you know I'm a grown man. I go buy my own clothes when I need it. if that's what she wants to do, it's fine. But in that, but in saying that,
is that control?
Here's
is that control?
Yeah, it's not really control, but here's the 100% question for tonight. Here's the $1 million question for tonight. Don't our women want us to control? I don't think there's a woman who wants a soft man, a yes man, to everything.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think our women want us to take control in certain situations.
No, mine does.
Okay. And I hear that, and it sounds good. But do they want us to control them?
No. You can answer that real quick.
No, they don't want us to control them.
No, no.
But they don't want us to say, okay, honey, you can go out. I think they want to say, you know what? I don't think you should go this trip. Why can't I go? You know, we got other things we need to take care of. You know, it's not a good time right now. I think they want us to say that instead of agreeing and say, yeah, you can go everywhere you want to go.
Yeah, yeah, check this.
And that could be not controlling, but setting boundaries and rules.
Yeah, and check this. I got a situation for y'all. And y'all tell me what you think. Back probably, well, my wife, I've been married almost 11 years, so, but it was a while ago, probably maybe 6-7 years ago, but I was in a wedding. And, you know, as part of the wedding, you know, you got to do, you know, most things. I wasn't the best man or anything like that. I was just one of the groomsmen. And, but literally you have to participate in mostly all the activities. And, you know, my wife, she was about 5 months pregnant, but, you know, anyway, long story short, you know, the fellas, you know, after the rehearsal dinner, everything was cool, you know, they were going to the strip club. And, you know, my wife's like, you ain't going? And I was like, but I got to participate, you know, I'm part of the wedding party, you know, I got to do everything, you know, that's part of the agreement. She was like, I don't care, you ain't going. So after you finish the rehearsal dinner, you can come on back up to the hotel because you ain't going. And I didn't go, you know. And, you know, I, you know, it's funny, you know, that I tell it now. But, you know, I was kind of like, you know what, hey, You know, I should, you know, it's kind of like, hey, she telling me what I can do, what I can, where I can go. But, you know, literally, you know, I don't think it was, I don't know. What y'all think about that situation? You know,
I think you got punked, but that's just me. That's just me, dude. You know, I could be wrong, you know. But, yeah.
But it happens, right?
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, and there's some relationship that says, you know.
But what would have happened, fellas, if I would have pulled the Tony move and said, you know what, you know, because I said so, I'm rolling out on you. Then what would have happened?
You would still be married today.
Sleep in another bed for the night, that's all.
Yeah.
Really?
You would still be married today, and that would just be one of the things that y'all, that'll come up every now and then in conversation. But it is what it is.
Oh, man.
You know, I mean, if you know that is a family event and your friends are out there and you know there's no harm, it should be a problem.
Well, I mean, going to a strip club when you're married to either of the other parties, it's a problem. I mean, it is what it is. Just like your wife telling you, well, you know, we're going to watch the male dancers because I'm in the wedding party. You're going to see some men swinging right in front of your wife. You know, that's a problem.
Yeah, and that's when I'll be like, no, you ain't going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, now you can because she's already one up on you. So now you can.
So that, yeah. Does that mean that, you know, all your friends that are I think there was a guy on the phone said he's about to get married now. That means you can't show up at his bachelor party because you're married?
No. Mm-mm.
Now, Rodney.
Yeah.
I got to ask you one question.
Go ahead.
Did you tell your wife that the brothers was going to a strip club?
I don't remember.
I mean, because it's real important. Did you volunteer that information?
I don't remember, honestly, but I think it was implied that that's where they were going.
Oh, so somebody else put the cat out the bag.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, or it was just that what was going to happen. I don't know if anybody had to articulate it or not, but, you know, literally, I don't remember. It's like, yeah, you know, we're going to the, you know, to whatever club. Yeah, I don't remember that actually, that conversation actually happening, but I think it was implied. It was what was going to happen. It was known whether I said it or not, you know, so.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Good words.
Good words. All right, fellas, I got some more here. Using insults and name calling are attempts of to regain control of a situation. Let's say you're in an argument. You use that to get control back. Do we do that? Do we be manipulative and try to do reverse calling when we arguing with our wife to put the blame on them, get control back of the argument?
Hit below the belt?
Yeah, hit below the belt, man. Just go on and put it out there. Just hit below the belt and get it off you and reverse that thing. Osmosis, I guess you want to call it.
Yeah,
and then
it's smart.
Get energy back on them.
Sometimes you got to hit below the belt dealing with them because they always hit below the belt. They specialize in below the belt, so sometimes you gotta go there.
Sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do, huh?
I think sometimes you gotta go there. You know.
Let's say that you're working, right? Your wife is a dominant worker, and she's independent. We talked about it earlier, but, you know, you want this new woman. It's a new age. She's independent. She's a manager at her job. So she has to be in a controlling manner at the job. She has to be in a certain way, demanding, fluent, strict. But she comes home. Do you want that same wife at the home, or are you expecting and looking for something different? So she be that loving wife when she gets home and deal nothing with work when she walks in the door.
Mm.
Or do you want that same controlling woman as she is in the office? And this goes back to, and I kind of tell you where I got this from. I said this at the beginning. I know a lot of people weren't known, but for the working professional, and you're a working woman, a CEO, a business owner, you are in a position of power. Do you expect, you know, that woman may bring home that position of power and use it against you, control you, just like she would control her workers. Would you have an issue with that?
You would want her to be able to separate the two, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not your coworkers. I'm not your subordinate.
Right.
The big difference when you walk up in here.
Mm.
You got to flip that thing.
Got to flip it.
Got to flip it.
And what happens, though? I mean, do you know anybody who that has happened to?
Which, of course, we all do. We all do. We know men, you know, in their household, they got no say-so, they got nothing. You know, and their wife just, you know, has her way. You know, and they do nothing about it. You know, some of them is because of guilt, whatever the case may be. But, you know, at some point you got to regain that or you'll never be right.
Yeah. Yeah, now just think about it. I pay the cost to be the boss. And this family. Your wife makes more money than you. Does that mean she gets to make the rule?
If she does, she doesn't respect you as a man of the house.
Mm.
And I honestly believe that that's where the line has to be drawn. Okay, you make more money than me, fine, but I'm still the man of the house.
Yeah. Yep.
Period.
Yep.
Anybody in here that disagrees?
Well, maybe not on this call, but maybe on a women's call, you might find some disagreements.
You know, you know.
Oh man,
it's true though. I mean, it's one of the things, you know. I have to say, my sister was that way. My sister, she's divorced now, but that was one of the reasons why she got divorced. Is because. She was, you know, she has her own business, right? And so she brought in more money than, you know, her husband. And so she ended up buying, you know, all the stuff in house and house in, you know, her name and not his name. And she had the control factor, which drew him away from her.
Yeah, that's bad.
And, you know, I would tell my sister, look, you know, you got to still let this man be a man, you know. Well, he doesn't do this and blah, 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 blah. I did that. I bought this. I bought this for, you know, he doesn't do it. Well, that's why you buy yourself.
I must be honest with you. My wife makes way more money than I do. But it doesn't determine, you know, who's the head of the house, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Her desire is for me to be the head of the house regardless. You know what I'm saying? I mean, her desire is to see me move in the arena that, you know, the guy that's called me to, you know. So, basically, I've never had a problem with that. And she'll stand inside of you 100,000%, even with a lot of other inconsistencies. But one thing I can honestly say, she will stand by you, and she's always there regardless. And the money has never been an issue.
Mm.
Never. Not even a question about it, you know.
Yeah. It can't be the center of your marriage, finances. It can't be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
It can't be, because then your marriage is based on BS.
You know,
that
that's
point.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely right. Yeah.
It can't be.
I feel like I work for peanuts.
Is it if you do everything for your wife, is that a control issue?
Yeah.
Because there's some men that over-pamper their wife. They do everything for it. No, you don't have to do that. I get it. And now you just got a wife there. For your
Oh, yeah.
I have a friend.
That can be a controlling factor.
I have a friend like that. He does. His wife doesn't work. He provides for her. She doesn't drive. He makes sure that she gets everywhere she needs to be. She's become very rebellious because she feels as if he does everything and doesn't give her an opportunity to think for herself. She doesn't need him to think for her all the time. So she feels as if, you know, he's being controlling of everything and already have the answer and what it is that, you know, she should be doing, you know. And she's from Costa Rica, so she's just learning the language. Like a couple of years ago, she's been married 5 years to him, and he's a federal attorney, and he's a legalist, and everything in his mind is already made up, so she doesn't get a chance to think for herself. He always calls me and questions me why he's having problems in his relationship. I said, bro, you got to give a lady some individuality, opportunity to think about what it is that she wants to do. So I have that friend that actually does that, yeah. Absolutely.
Google move. I don't know. I think there was probably times at the beginning of my marriage where, you know, I probably did more than what I did that should have for my wife. Just because I love her. Yeah, I do it. I'll cook. But in me doing that, made her less willing to cook because I just did all the cooking all the time. Now we kind of compromise where she now, you know, is cooking. Now she almost cooks every night now. And it's like, wow. And our relationship is way better because I took all that control pressure off me, making sure that everything is getting done. You know, I don't want to depend on you getting it done. That now we're getting it done together, and you can see that it just brings more love in the relationship. I want to read something right quick. Shouldn't take but a minute, but I want to talk about it afterwards. I would never, could never be obedient. That's for children. Nor would I want a man so whipped that he was obedient to me. However, one thing I am is pretty predictable. I don't normally do things that surprise those that know me. The trick here is for the man to get along with me and I him. We both have to say, do I accept and cherish the person I see in front of me as she or he is? No changes. What do you think about that? Here's a woman saying that she doesn't want to be a person that's obedient. That's something that goes back to what our definition was, what we said earlier about obedience. The first one, which was, you know, to comply with or follow the commands, restrictions, wishes, or instructions of, to obey one's parents, a child. Is she saying something right here in this message? That we should cherish each other and accept each other as we are and not being obedient to each other? I mean, for good or bad.
That sounds like a person that just can't accept the fact, the word of God, because that's normally what the issue is when it comes to obedience and stuff like that. See, a lot of people try to fix the word to fit their situation, even though they know, but they want to be in a relationship. They say they have a godly relationship, but in essence, they only want to follow certain portions of things and feel as if they only apply to them in those situations. That's what it sounds like to me. a lot of people have a problem with obedience and with submitting.
And that goes to something I want to bring out, that we all know Ephesians in the Bible.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to start at 20. Giving thanks always for all those unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourself one to another in fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. What do y'all think about that?
What do we think?
I mean, we're going to be, I kind of ended that, this whole conversation here at 11 o'clock that way. I mean, I can read all the way to the end of the verses if you want me to, but the thing is that God is in control.
Well, that's
right?
What I commented about earlier.
God. And if we follow these small little instructions here, it'll make our marriages more better.
Absolutely.
Because it goes back to what I said earlier where, and this is my closing here, is that, you know, our woman wants us to be a little controlling here because it says it in the Bible.
Absolutely. That's what I commented on earlier when I said that you know, we are supposed to be a little Christ to our wives, because it says, submit yourself unto your husband, even as unto Christ. So in essence, you are that figure, you know, that Christ-like figure in their life. You know what I'm saying? Even though that, you know, their father is Jesus, you know, Christ. But what I'm saying is that's what he's speaking in that same scripture. And so many people have difficulty with that. You know, they only want to allow certain things to be, you know, applicable in their lives, but, you know, what they pick and choose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem, you know. So ultimately, it's your responsibility, you know, as the head of your house, you know, to be the one, to bring things under subjection, and for her to submit unto you, and you to it tells you to respect her. You know what I mean? You know, it doesn't tell her to love you though. You know that, right?
That's right.
You know, everybody say, well, she don't tell me she loves me. Well, the Bible never told you. I told her to say you love you. She told her to respect you.
That's it. And I think that's what love is for a woman, is respecting their man.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why they argue with us all the time.
You know, that's right.
Because they want us to tighten up. I mean, because they respect us as being the head of household.
Absolutely.
And they just want us to do, you know, be on our job.
Oh, yeah.
And if we can see past the anger,
uh-huh.
And sometimes us as men, we can't see past the anger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it takes us a little longer to get to the bottom line, at least for me it does,
mm-hmm.
to really see what she's saying, because I don't jump to defense, because I'm a guy, that's what I do.
You already answered her before she finished, right?
Right. But Ephesians tells you, those passages all the way to 33 tells you where the control and the obedience factor is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple more verses I could throw out there that I got, but I think that kind of sums it up.
Good words.
So, you know, has anybody else got anything before we close it off? It's a little bit, it's 11 o'clock. I think we had a good conversation.
Good
call.
Good call.
You have to give us an apology on TalkShoe. We don't control TalkShoe. So there was some technical difficulties early where we couldn't record the call. People were dropping on, dropping off. I even got dropped off. But at the end of the day, God made it come through. And that's why we ended with those verses, to let us know that at the end of the day, God is in control.
No, that's
so
right.
So we shouldn't have any problems about control, because the controller factor comes from God.
In the beginning of the day, he's in control too.
Yeah. A lot of y'all didn't hear what I said at the beginning, so I do want to say this one thing and then end like this. Whether your spouse is too controlling or you too passive, or are the roles reversed, Either way, if decisions in your marriage are normally a tug-of-war struggle and the same partner either almost always wins or almost always gives in, then your marriage is being impacted by control issues. Have you ever been irritated because your spouse does things differently than you? Do you get upset if she has different opinions or makes different choices than you would? If so, you have bumped up against some of your own personal control issues and triggers in your marriage. Okay? In tonight's show, we talked about no limits to relationships, but we're going to try to keep it into that area, and that's what we did. In the home, do you tell your wife what to do, how to do it, when to do it? Do you complain about what she said, she's done it, or you criticize she's done? For the working professional, are you a working woman, CEO, or business owner, or man, CEO, business owner? And in that position of power, is it fair to expect a woman, your wife, to transform when she comes home suddenly and be submissive? Control or obedience, which role do you play in your relationship? I think we play both, but as we ended in saying, God is in control, so we don't really play anything. If anybody else has anything to say, we can stop the recording right now and go to open mic.